It's on. On live. All right, perfect. Perfect.
Give him a 10-minute break. I think that was part of the program there.
Five-minute break, guys. Yeah. I wasn't sure I didn't want to step out in case. There we go. Perfect. Thanks, Randy.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much for your attention. I appreciate you all coming back in. And thank you also. And also welcome to all of those of you joining us online. What an amazing thing this technology is. Can you hear me in the back there? Is that working better there? All right, perfect. I'll stay closer to this one here. All right, and thank you all for inviting me to speak here. It's an honor to stand before you here, and I hope that I can bring something of value to this platform. And to introduce myself, my name is Craig Norton. I have lived on board one vessel or another for most of my entire life. I've spent significantly more time with ocean beneath my feet than land. I am a second-generation marine surveyor, currently a SAMS AMS. I hold a 200-ton commercial MCA captain's license, and I'm also an MCA-licensed Y3 chief engineer. But more importantly, the reason why I'm here to speak with you today is to talk about your survey process and offer you a solution for improving and saving time on every single survey assignment. And we do this with a program that's been designed by surveyors specifically for completing your inspection. This is the first and only marine report writing software designed to complete an entire survey report while in the field. And we do this by entering data on a touchscreen tablet in the field rather than with handwritten notes. Let me start by saying, I will say, I'm gonna have a chance at the end of this for some Q&A. I've left and allotted enough time there, so we'll get through the presentation. I will say that I'm not a salesman or a marketing specialist. I'm definitely not a public speaker. I'm a surveyor, just like any of you, and I'm out there working every single day in the field. I'm only here because I came up with this solution that worked so well for us in the field. And it's a solution to a problem that many of us know and understand very, very well, including me. We've all accepted this problem as just part of the job, as something what we do as part of the requirement as a surveyor. This solution is catching fire. It's taken on this industry by storm, and I'm excited to show this to you, and I think by the end of this presentation, you'll see why. There is a problem with the marine surveying process, and we all know it well. It's the time that we spend writing reports. Over and over, I hear from surveyors who love what they do, but hate the late nights writing reports and weekends and time off, every spare moment spent catching up and writing those reports. Within the institutions, I constantly hear about late reports and surveyors that are not able to get their reports to the clients on time, and that being the number one complaint in the industry. While some take a little longer or shorter, the average time to write a report has been an industry standard that for every hour we spend in the field, typically expect to spend that same hour at home writing the report. What we have to realize with that method is that taking handwritten field notes in the report and coming home to retranscribe it is duplicating our work. We're doing everything twice. So let's take a couple, have a look at a couple ways on how we do collect that information in the field. For some of us, this is everything, a notepad and a camera. The problem with this method is it opens us up to inconsistencies, omissions, and the following liability risks that follow with that. What most of us do is we then create custom field notes, a whole set of headings and sections, and oftentimes we'll have pages and pages of these field notes. And we page between those sections and write down the information of what we're seeing in that specific area of the vessel. And that works great. The problem with that is very quickly these notes start looking like this. pages and pages of notes like this. And one, this is a burden to come home and transcribe. And most of all, I would personally begin dreading coming home at the end of the day to start transcribing these notes out and beginning that report. And I think this is something that many of you can relate with. Now, what if I told you there was a way that you could complete your entire survey report while taking these notes in the field? I'm going to show you a small section of a report, of a sample report, that was completed entirely in the field. Now, if I was sitting in your place watching this, I know my skepticism would be raised. I would be thinking, there's no way that you can complete this all in the field and keep that same quality of level, the same quality of service. And I understand more than anyone that the liability and responsibilities that we have in the field don't allow for any compromise or any cutting corners at all. If anything, we should all be looking where we can add value and add more effort to each single report. The key of what I want to talk to you about today is not in compromising or cutting corners, but rather it's a solution to working more efficiently. I'm going to show you how we created this entire full version of this report entirely in the field, which means no more coming home to transcribe those notes and write them at home. Before I do that, we need to break down some parts of a typical report so that we all know what we're working towards. A standard report is going to have the same basic structure, and all those parts of the report are going to start with a category, a main category or section that we have all of our subcategories and headings within. Here's a typical subcategory. Now, when we talked about the main category there, we're talking about safety equipment, hull construction, those main category sections. And beneath those, we'd have a lot of subcategories like this one. In this case, hull arrangement, we'd have deck arrangement or bridge arrangement, different sections of that category. And beneath those, we often have a number of types of headings. And those headings contain the content that we're creating and collecting while on a survey. Sometimes we'll include images. That's always dependent on the surveyor and how he likes his reports to be written, if they help or help your process to include images in that report as well. And we're there to determine the condition of the vessel, and very often a list of deficiencies related to that. So a list of deficiencies is very important. And we'll collect those deficiencies in slightly different ways. If you're using a word processor or a standard Word document, oftentimes organizing those deficiencies can be quite a challenge on how to present them to your client in an order of priority. For our method here, we use a standard system of A, B, and C. A findings are going to be typically high priority or first priority findings, safety and compliance issues. B findings in the list would be things that need timely attention. And C findings are purely cosmetic items or non-related to the safety of the vessel. Now, this is a definition, but we leave it up to the users themselves to be able to adjust those definitions to how they apply to your assignments. The important thing that I'm presenting here or showing is that with a software program, and there are other options out there for this, but software programs allow you to organize these deficiencies in a manner that presented to the client in a really well laid out and in a way that shows them the order of priority. Here's an example of a findings report or a list of deficiencies in order of priority through the A's, the B's, including some photographs. Now, I know you are all very well versed in the contents of a report, and I'm not here to stand up and tell you how a report should be laid out or the contents of it. There's many other speakers that are better at that than I am. But what I do want to show you is the final product that we're working with here is a well-polished, well-presented final report, and when I take you back and show you how we create this in the field, you'll have an understanding of what we're working towards. I should also mention that this concept was created purely out of necessity in my own life. I would come home every day at the end of the day and straight away rush to my computer because I had all of these deficiencies in my head that I had maybe a small little chicken scratch scribble in amongst those notes, and I had to get that full thought developed and put onto a page. So the sooner I started doing that, the better. And I would work until midnight every single night, my wife feeding me dinner in front of the computer just to try and get as much on that page as I could. And I would get halfway through those field notes and have to do another assignment the next day. So out of the necessity, I started thinking there just has to be a better way to do this. And we started drafting up an idea on how we could navigate between one section of the report and the other as quickly as possible to be able to get to all of those headings and all those sections. And the basic idea of this rapid navigation would lay the foundation for everything else to come. So the theme for this conference is new products for old practices. And so please let me introduce InspectX, the first and only marine report writing software designed to complete an entire survey report while in the field. Let me repeat a part of that: completing your entire report in the field. That means inventory, observations, findings and recommendations, photographs, everything. When I get home, I take a little time to do the market value research. I review the report. I'd rather spend my time reviewing everything to make sure I've got all of those things and it's well presented and well laid out before I convert it to a PDF and send it to the client. Switching over from walking around the field with a clipboard in your hands and making notes with a pen to walking around with a tablet in your hand and making notes on the screen is very easy. It's a natural transition, so long as two things are met. You need to be able to navigate to the heading you're looking for faster than turning the pages with your field notes. And then you need to be able to make the entry at that heading faster than you could writing it out. We're not the first to think of this concept of completing a report in the field. Many have tried before. Because when this works, the benefits and time savings are unquestionable. If you've ever tried this yourself, try to take a word processor or a program that wasn't specifically designed for this, you would have noticed that you've probably spent more time scrolling through, trying to find the location to make these entries in the field. It's cumbersome. And very quickly, we switch back to our old notes. But InspectX is different. The key is having that software that allows you to rapidly navigate to any heading and then be able to make those entries at the heading faster. So let's take a look at how we do this. From the ground up, InspectX is designed with you as the surveyor in mind and how you're going to go through your process and collect your information in the field. So from the very start, you'll notice we have this dark background with bright big buttons in the front of the page. And all of the layout, all of the design is very intentional. The dark background with bright contrasting buttons helps this work even better in bright sunlight. Most of today's touchscreen computers already work very well in sunlight, but when you have this contrasting color difference, it offsets that even more. So from the ground up, it's made for you using this out in the field. Next, you see the big, large buttons, and everything is designed to be touched and worked through with your fingers in the field. You don't need to have a mouse or a keyboard or any sort of input device. You can do this with your hands right in the field. Now, one of the keys to fast entry, as I said, is to be able to navigate around the report very rapidly. So I want to break down how we do that with this program. If I bring attention to the top of the page here, you'll see we have two rows of buttons. And each button represents a category in our report. We just talked about the basic structure of that report. So each of these buttons is a category. And simply by tapping on that category, jumps the buttons below that to that section. So those buttons will change depending on the category that we've selected. Now I do want to mention that the buttons and headings that you're seeing here are completely customizable. They're yours to adjust, to add new content, to reorder even. And what's very hard to do in a Word document, when you reorder something, all the rest of your pages get out of order. It's difficult to reorder and keep doing that. Here we can drag and drop entire sections of the report and they automatically align and fit everything in. So I can order the report in the way that I see as the most valuable way to present that information. To visually show you just how this layout references your final report, I want to do a little further demonstration here, and we'll pop up and we'll select the safety category in the top two rows there. And to show you the relationship, I'm going to slide in a final report, and I've dimmed out some of the features in that final report so we can just focus on what specifically I'm talking about here. So as I said, we have the safety category selected. So right over here, you can see the heading in our software relates to the heading in the final report. Changing the name of that button will change the name in the final report. If you wanted to add safety equipment, CFRs, or any specific following on that, you can add that and it would adjust it in the final report as well. We talked about subcategories being part of that. So just the same way, we have subcategories in our layout that they exactly reference the subcategories in the final report. And even the order of how it's laid out in ours changes that order in the final report. Each button that we talked about relates to a heading in your report. And the content you place at that button is going to be the content that then gets put into your report. So now that you see this relationship and how that works, when we look now, close that one out there. The next thing I want you to notice here is we're seeing a whole lot of colors on the page. And all of those colors have a meaning and they all represent something. And I want to take a look and show you exactly what that is. So these are the four main colors that we're seeing on the page. Now the buttons will change color depending on their level of completeness. And that's a very valuable tool to be able to use and have at your fingertips while working in the field. To help you understand what they mean, I'm going to draw an analogy to a traffic light here. And we can see that the red buttons or the orange buttons in that report are all the ones that are not yet started. Those are like a blank line item in your field notes, just saying, hey, this is waiting for information to be added to this specific heading. The yellow buttons are in progress. And this is extremely useful and something that's very, very difficult to do with handwritten field notes. It means that you can mark any heading in progress. I may have collected the port engine serial number, but not yet the starboard. And in field notes, I've had this many times where I'll scan after making entries in my notes, and I'll scan through those notes, and it looks like I've completed all the items because I've brushed over where I've filled in some information but haven't yet maybe tested equipment or entered that. And I have to keep that all in my mind while I'm working through the course of a day. So having a button that I can mark in progress serves as a visual reminder that I've still got more information to enter at this place, and I've got to put more information in. So it helps me through my survey by doing this. Now, when I complete a button, I mark it as green. I can still go back and make changes to it, but having that green reference gives me a good visual representation of how far along through the report I am. And that's a great feeling. The goal is to work away and turn all these buttons to green headings. And I've had surveyors come back and tell me that this has made the survey and the surveying process enjoyable for them again, because it's even related to a game where it's about going through each heading and making sure that that heading gets completed and marked green. So if we take, and the gray buttons in the layout are not applicable. So if you mark anything not applicable, you can still go back and make entries there, but having it grayed and marked out just showing that this heading is not applicable or not going to be used in this particular report. Now if we take this layout and we look back at these buttons, we can see in an instant the level of completeness of each button. We can see the green EPIRB button is marked as complete, and that the man overboard system has some information in it, but not yet finished. The fire alarm system is not applicable, not going to be used in this report, and the firefighting system doesn't have any information in it yet. If we take that same concept, expand it out to the entire layout we were looking at before, an amazing thing happens. What was before a jumble of different colors, now they stand for a meaning. They all have this meaning. You can see the level of completeness throughout this report. I can see how categories in the top two rows are different colors, and those entire sections being marked green, the ones that are green there, are completely done. Now I can go back and change them if I need to, but I can see that that whole section of the report is done, and I can see two up there that are still red and have no content entered into them yet. And that's a good visual cue that probably need to go and spend a little more time in that area. So let's go into clicking on a button now and see how we actually change the status of these buttons. So I'm going to select any button and jump into there. And here we have the button entry page. At the very top of the page, these are our same status buttons. Whenever I've entered something in this button, I can change the status at the top there, and that will then change the status in the final report. Beneath the status buttons, we have our main entry window. Now, whatever you enter into this window is what's going to appear in your final report. Beneath that is the quick insert options. And this is the second part to the key that I mentioned. One, I showed you how we can rapidly navigate to any section in the report. Well, this is the second key, to be able to make an entry at a heading faster than you can with handwritten notes. So from this list here, these are all your phrases to customize. We have a huge database that we do include with the software. But this list is yours to adjust, to put your own voice, your own way that you word things in a survey assignment. This list can be reordered, readjusted, and by a single press, you can add this entire phrase that you've said. It could be a single line item, it could be a page, multiple pages even, and all of that information gets entered right at that heading. Now, you're not limited to just those items in that quick insert options list. You can still change and add your own information simply by tapping on that screen. If you're using a touchscreen keyboard, an on-screen keyboard will come up, and you can then edit, make changes, make additional phrases that you can save for later. And you're not even limited to just that on-screen keyboard. If you have a keyboard built into your computer, you can use that as well. You can use handwriting to text recognition if you have a stylus that you like to use in the field. And you can even use voice recognition technology. If you have drag and dictation on your machine, and a lot of the newer versions of Windows have voice dictation built right into this keyboard. So there's a number of ways that we can make this or pre-fill the entry value windows. And when you have a phrase that you've liked, when you enter something that you like, you save it, and that continues to build your own database of information that you can quickly access again in the future with a single press. At this point, we've finished entering our information at this heading, and I could move to the top and just hit complete or incomplete and move on with my report. But to show you a little bit next step here, we're going to create a deficiency under this specific heading. And to do that is, again, very, very easy. You'll notice at the top right of the page, we have these three colors standing out for those categories, A, B, and C. And we just covered that about the levels of priorities that we can designate to any of our deficiencies. When I press on either A, B, or C, I'm taken to the findings and recommendations page. And at the top of this page, we have cancel or save. Those are pretty self-explanatory. But beneath that, I have a findings window. And in the finding window, similar to before, whatever I type here is going to become the finding in this report. And beneath that, a whole list of phrases that I can enter, modify, change, just as before, for those specific findings. So just as in John's presentation before, when we find the pin on the shore power cord being burnt, I can just, it's such a common one, we see it so frequently, I can just double click that entry. And in fact, this heading that we're on here says exactly that, the top line item. It says the pin's cord indicated past overheating burning. And you can make that entry, make it an A, high priority finding, and the appropriate recommendation for it. Make the recommendation, I just tap on the recommendation pane on the right hand side. And that list is actually going to change beneath that to reflect appropriate recommendations. So again, you can still modify and make little adjustments to these, but it saves you typing everything from scratch. And what we've noticed from most of our users is when you have an entire phrase that's written in proper grammar, in well-formulated, well-thought-out idea, you're more likely to make small adjustments to that and say, be a little more specific to this boat. It's not a canned phrase. This is something that you can modify right on the go. And when you have a grammatically correct sentence and phrase already stated for you, it's very easy to modify those and keep your report flowing in a very well-educated, well-presented layout, rather than a single line item that says, shore power cord burnt, right? Not describing or fully laying out that comprehensive thought. Now, we can easily change the priority of any finding once we've created it. And right over here in the top left, you'll see that we have that A, B, and C again, and I can just re-tap on B or C to change the priority level. And what we talked about before on how difficult it is in a Word document to reorder and restructure those findings by an order of priority, here, because it all happens with software in the background, I can tap B or C and it automatically adds that deficiency. It handles the numbering for me and it places that all in the appropriate places throughout the report. So that's how easy it is to create a finding at a heading. When you're done, we're going to click Save at the top, and that's it. We're back to our report and continuing working our way through. Now, at the end of the day, when you finished with your survey assignment, oftentimes we have a meeting with our client, and it's to sit down and break down and talk about what we've uncovered throughout the vessel on this day so he can make an educated decision even before you get that report into his hands. And when I used to use paper notes, it was very difficult to try to line item and point out exactly which areas and amongst all my chicken scratch were actually the deficiencies and which ones were just observations throughout as I was working through the boat, taking notations of equipment and accumulating all the data I needed for the valuation on the boat. So even when I had those deficiencies, and maybe I would asterisk the margin or put something to put a reference for me so that I knew to come to discuss that point, it was very difficult, almost impossible, to try to relay all of these headings in an order of priority to the client. So I was jumping from low-level priority items to high-importance items, and it wasn't a clear, concise method to relay that information to him accurately. So wouldn't it be amazing if I could see one place with all the deficiencies that I could scroll through them to be able to relay to the client? And even better, if I could filter those deficiencies by priority. Now, when I have that end-of-the-day discussion with the client, I can talk with them about the A priority findings and work my way through those, and very easily move on to the B priority findings and work my way through those. And if he was still awake and alert and wanted to hear about the cosmetics, we could move to those as well. So very easy to just have that discussion at the end of the day and relay that information in a personal one-on-one meeting with them. Very often we're working our way through the boat with our head down on our notepads and looking at locations. We're trying to avoid distraction as much as possible. So this opportunity, end of the day, is really the only opportunity to interact with our client and relay this information that maybe equally as valuable as the final report that he gets in his hand. Just as important as relaying this information to the client is reviewing our reports. I was talking with Mike yesterday as well and about how important it is for all of us to review and accurately go over everything in our report before we submit it to the client. And while I've been talking everything about speed and accuracy to make the entries here, I'm more about efficiency, not cutting corners at any place. So reviewing the report is extremely important. And to help you with this, we've got a place called review mode built into the software. Now, this will break down all the sections of the report and the layout that you've created it. And you can expand all these headings and scroll through this report in a nice, clear manner to review all of the headings. Now, this is all done before you've actually published this into a PDF. And you can click into any single heading here and make an edit or a change. So this allows a nice, easy method for you to work through and review everything in that report. The software is tailored to show you exactly the information that you need to see when you're out in the field. And it removes everything else that could be a distraction. So let's take a next step here, and we're going to make an entry together. So I'm going to pull up the page here. And the entry we're going to make on this case, we're going to say this was a vessel with a cabin, but it didn't have a high water bilge alarm. So we're going to go and create a deficiency under the heading of high water bilge alarms, just to show you how easy it is to do this. And so I'm going to move my cursor up there to the safety category. But along the way to writing up this high water alarm, I happened to glance across the way and I noticed that the MARPOL no oil discharge placard was right there, correctly placed on the engine room door. So I'm going to stop in and make a little entry at that heading first on my way down. I click on the safety category and you see these red buttons that are standing out there. They're clearly indicating to me that this is information I still need to collect. And the powerful tool here is that this has helped me to ensure to remind me to check that there was a no oil discharge placard in the first place. So by clicking on no oil discharge placard, I'm going into that button entry. I'll search my list. This is a common, easy one. So I'll make an entry for found properly displayed in the engine room. And I'll go up to the top and just hit complete. And just like that, I've made that entry. Now we'll continue on and we'll go over to bilge high water alarms. And right, I see it right there. So I'll just make a click on that button and enter my way in. Now, before we make our deficiency, if we happen to find a high water alarm on this boat, this is how easy it is to make that entry. I just went down the list and I found one bilge high water alarm, and I'll mark test sounded because we want to test the value or the condition of this object. So yeah, this one test sounded. But I can add more information here. Rather than being locked into my specific phrases, I can just hit my cursor, or in this case, my finger right on the point right after the word alarm. My on-screen keyboard would come up. Or I could use the keyboard on the computer and just add an additional phrase. In this case, I'll say the location of the bilge pump, and I'll add in that it was in the aft bilge. So I can continue to build on and add more detail and customize my report for this particular vessel, and I'm not locked into those phrases that I have, but it's a good starting point to give more value into that survey report. Now, if this was the case, I could just easily click complete and be done with this whole heading. But remember, we said that this vessel did not have a high water alarm. So let's erase that out, and we'll find another appropriate selection for this one here. So here's one that says, none cited, highly recommended. We don't want to leave it just there because we want to create a deficiency on this heading so that it enters into that section of the report and clearly stands out that there is a regulation or a standard that recommends having a high water alarm if the boat had a cabin. So I'll go ahead and click on the A. My mouse is hovering over the A button over there. And again, keep in mind that by having this bilge high water alarm heading in the first place has served as a reminder that to make an entry to even look to see if this vessel had a high water alarm. So by clicking on the A, take it to the findings and recommendations page. And now I'll scroll down this list. And again, common ones for a vessel with a cabin not having a high water alarm is quite commonly cited. So this one's right here, ready to go on my list. And I can just make that selection, goes right into the finding window, I click over to the recommendation, and I'll make the top selection in the recommendation list is the first one there. So I'll enter that. And just like that, that entire paragraph has been entered in. And not just a paragraph, but here's a paragraph that actually quotes two separate ABYC standards. One, that the high water alarm is required on boats with the cabin. And two, the definition of the high water alarm and where it should be placed. With a single tap, I put that entire phrase into the report. Now, for those of you that don't follow ABYC standards, you can adjust those headings, customize this for your own phrases in whatever regulatory body you're working under. So all of this list is very powerful, and having those entries right at your fingertips helps you give the correct and proper information right while you're working there in the field. And the more you customize these phrases, the faster you'll become each time you do this. A software program cannot make you a surveyor. I know that. That comes only through knowledge, practice, and experience. But just like any surveying tool, the right software can be extremely valuable in the right hands. And I hope that you've seen just how powerful this tool can be when you're working right in the field, just as a powerful aid to your survey process. Let's move to another feature, and this one can be a complete game changer for you if you've ever worked in the field with multiple surveyors. If you've ever done large boats where you have multiple people working together on the same or working together at the same time, and InspectX can work with multiple surveyors at the same time on the same report. That means one surveyor can be in the bridge, going through the electronic equipment at the bridge, and another person could be working in the engine room and going through there. And you're both building onto the same report at the same time. You can see visually which buttons are being marked in progress or completed. And one of the common issues when two people work on a boat together, you constantly have to have meetings of the minds here and see that you've covered each of those items as you work your way through. And sometimes that defeats the purpose. You're not saving time when you have to meet and, oh, was this checked, was this checked, was this done? It doesn't necessarily save time through that process. And just as importantly, very often when two people are working together, you may both assume that you've checked something and you could leave that boat at the end of the day not having checked a specific item. So very important to have a way that you can clearly lay out and see which ones are checked and which ones are done. When both people work together on the same report, it eliminates all the risks of that, and it's a very clean and easy way to navigate through. Now, even if you don't work with a team or with other people, this same networking feature is still going to be extremely useful to you, because when you get home at the end of the day and you've been working on a tablet, something like this, and you've been using this out in the field, you get home to your home office, you may not necessarily want to review your report and send it from this tablet. You probably have a nice big screen computer with a nice keyboard that you're familiar with, and you want to continue working on the report right from there. Well, with the same networking ability, I don't have to transfer any files. There's nothing to upload or download from the cloud. There's nothing that I need to send or receive to switch it to my home computer. I can open it at home from any computer. I use an iMac at home, and I open it right on my iMac through a browser window, and I can continue with that report exactly where I left off in the field. This allows me to then complete that nice review. I could add any other photographs that I wanted to right from home, finish that valuation research, compile it to a PDF, and email it right from the computer that I'm already familiar with. This presentation, we've covered only some of the features, and there's so much more, but I do want to just recap on some of the key items that we've covered here. Using InspectX will save you time. On average, most of our users have reported cutting their report time in half. Again, that was that hour in the field for every hour at home writing the report. We're working more efficiently. We've cut that time down in half. You'll be able to increase the quality, and I'm not just saying of your survey report, because I know we all take great pride in our current survey report and the effort that we put into there, but the quality of our survey process, the way that static notes can't serve as reminders for which items to check and our progress through the survey. By having something that helps us and works as an aid, this will increase the quality of the product that we can deliver. Saving time increases profitability. We can cut our survey times down instead of working till midnight every night just to maintain and then struggling through the survey the following day. If I've cut that time out, I can take on more business and keep that profitability moving. And just as importantly, I can't tell you how many times I've been approached by clients or brokers out in the field who've been so impressed with me walking around with a tablet. Brokers are always impressed when they can get the report the same day, but even more so when they see this technology that we bring into the field and how it enhances their entire survey process. Because we have all these headings, you set up exactly what you intend to collect when you go out into the field. There's no chance of you leaving that boat without observing, testing, or completing an item that you set out to do. And because you've completed everything you set out to do to the best of your ability, this reduces your liabilities afterwards. and all of these things in a user-friendly and easy-to-use interface. I'm going to scroll through a final report just a little bit more just so we see that layout that it's presenting. And this is an example of what your client would then receive. You've converted this to a PDF, and you've emailed them the client. And here we're just going to scroll through a few of the basic pages. The structure, again, is a standard report structure that you put in your own information, your own headings at each of these places. We did a lot of polling in the beginning when we first started this assignment, reviewing a number, hundreds and hundreds of different surveyors' reports to see the basic structure, the basic contents that were all in those, and more importantly, how our end users were using that report. And very few, if any, nowadays are still printing out that report and binding it and mailing it off. We've moved to the newer century here, and everything's happening much faster. And reports need to be delivered to the client rapidly. Most of them have a decision. If it's a pre-purchase, they need to make a decision on that boat as rapidly as possible. And the sooner they have that in their hands, the better for them. And obviously, that makes you better in their eyes. But more importantly, they were viewing these reports on digital devices, whether it be a computer, a tablet, or even a phone. A digital device was their main viewing point of seeing this report. So we wanted to enhance what was normally a static PDF to give them the best user experience on that PDF as well. So we built right into the PDF a table of contents. This allows them to just search digitally, and they'll be able to drill down to a specific section of that report. Perhaps they just want to see the speeds and the sea trial data in the engine section. Or perhaps they just want to look to a specific thing in the fuel tankage and the size. They can jump to those specific sections. And just the same, I can use this table of contents to drill down to the findings and recommendation section of this report. But here I have clicked over there, and now I can scroll through that well-organized, well-presented findings and recommendation section of the report. I'm going to use that same menu, and I'm going to jump back to the main body of the report. And I want to point out something when we're here. You'll see that bold heading that says C1 down on the bottom left. That's a link to the finding that we just showed in the back of the report. And again, when your client is reviewing, some people like to include the findings and deficiencies right in the body of the report, and that's a setting we can turn on or off, so you can include that as well. But what works really nicely is having this bolded heading so that the reading, the flow of the readership doesn't change. They can review their way through, and they can actually click on that finding C1. It's not just a referencing to a number, it's actually a clickable link. So they can click right on that heading. The report jumps to the back of the report, and here they can view and see that specific finding written under that heading. And just the same, they can click on the heading again, and it jumps them all the way back to their starting point in that actual body. A very user-friendly and easy, well-presented report for your clients. If at this point you're ready to try this for yourself, I do have some good news for you, because InspectX is free to download. You can put this on as many computers as you want. There's no licensing or limitation fees to this. We want you to have this, experience this with a no cost to start this with. You'll be able to customize all of the content that we've covered here. You can lay it out so that it's your own content. You can copy and paste from your current survey report and place it in so that you have that heading available to you when you're in the field. We'll receive continued program updates with no charges. We as a group, we're continuously giving us input here on how best or new features we can add to how best provide those services for you. So when we add a new feature or add a new enhancement to the product, everyone takes benefit of that. We'll push that out to everyone. You receive specialized email and telephone support. That's straight to me. I encourage you all, when you do download this or if you do decide to try it, call me, because I'm there to help you set this up. And what I do with most of our users is we set up a little schedule. We say, hey, let's do a remote login session. And I help you on your computer with your specific survey requirements and needs and convert this for your layout. I know that this is something that when you try and you see the power of doing this yourself, it's the learning curve becomes almost insignificant, because it's a very valuable tool for your entire survey process. Included in this is all of that detailed content we just covered as well. You can start with a blank slate and use all of your current content and bring it in. But we include this huge database of content that's been accumulated over 26 years of professional surveying in the field. And all of that content is right there for you to use and to continue to build on with your own phrases and statements. And all of this for just $39 per project. I don't like monthly subscription fees, and I wanted to move away from that here. But in order to grow as a community, we decided on a payment scheme that is very affordable for each person to use. $39 is less than the transcriptionist fees if you were to send your report out to have someone type up. And if this would save even 1 hour of your time, that would make that fee negligible and worthwhile just that alone. But again, remember, all of our users are reporting a half the time cut in their entire survey process. So it's a negligible fee in that. And this fee is only charged once per project. You can republish that report as many times as you want. You can go back and still make changes. You can add additional sections to the report. You can do a sea trial on another date. And that fee is only charged once for that assignment. And remember that each time you use this, your system gets better and you get faster and faster completing that report. So we're talking about tablets here, different options that we have for using in the field, something like this one over here. And the offerings today have exploded. Just in the last few years, the whole industry for computers have moved towards touchscreen devices, and the battery life, their usability, their weatherproofness, all this has improved significantly. So I'm just going to cover a couple of the basic options of what we've been testing and using in the field. And here's one, the Microsoft Surface Pro or Go version. This one here I just showed you, the Surface Pro as well. It's a great tablet, very, very powerful Windows machine. This is the Windows equivalent of an iPad. Do recommend getting some sort of hard or rugged case for this if you do decide to use this one in the field, because they aren't, as they come, they're not very rugged, or they're not intended for heavy abuse like what we go through in the field. This one is, this is the Panasonic ToughPad. And this one is the full military spec ToughPad. This is the one they use in the commercials. They drag behind the pickup truck through the mud and the wet. So this one can more than handle anything we throw at it in the field. This one doesn't have a keyboard or anything attached to it, so it is just a standalone screen. Third option here that I push a lot, and I say this one, this is personally what I use every single day when I go out in the field. This is the Panasonic ToughBook. It's a 2-in-1, and you still have the keyboard and a mouse, so that you can transition easily to using a full touchscreen. So this is a nice, easy way to move there. And the screen rotates around and folds down. And all of these options I just showed you are extremely affordable on the refurbished market. If you're buying a tough book or something that's a rugged machine, buying it on the refurbished market is more than sufficient. And on eBay, every single offering I showed you here is less than $500. In fact, this one here, oftentimes you can buy it for less than $300. A very affordable and easy investment to get in. If you have a Windows computer already, you don't even need to look at this. You can go ahead and download the software, try it out, and see if it works for your reports. And again, call me, because I'll help you set it up to make sure you're utilizing it to its best benefit. So armed with this new information that we've covered here today, I'd want you to know that you do have options to create a polished professional report entirely in the field. And no longer does this have to be you. InspectX solves a problem that all of us know so intimately. And in an industry that is constantly requiring more and more from each of you, here's something that doesn't just help you meet that demand, but actually gives you something back in return, something more valuable than a small publishing fee, and that is your time. So thank you for your time here today. Appreciate it, and I'll take any questions you have here. Go for it.
Do that and puts it in a report like the
competitors. Perfect. I'm going to repeat the question just so that our online viewers can hear there as well. You were asking if about taking photographs with the tablet right in the field. And yes, absolutely. It depends on the tablet, because we're not locking you into any particular tablet. Some will include a camera, some don't. This particular one that I'm holding here does have a camera right on the back. So you can take a photograph and it's right in that specific location of the report. Practically, because I do this every day, practically working away around the boat, often many of us taking 300 or 400 photographs. They may not all go in the report, but we're taking many. And using this to take those photographs isn't always the most practical sense. And again, I'm all about working practically and efficiently. And very often the most efficient method is taking those photographs with the camera and inserting the ones you choose to be in the report once you're home in the office. But you can do it in the field, absolutely. Any other questions? Great question. So the question is, how hard is it to import the pictures from your computer or from your camera into our software? It's extremely easy. We made this so that it doesn't matter which computer you're viewing it on. What I suggest to each person is you follow the same method you currently do. You take your camera, whether it be with your phone or a full-fledged large camera, whatever it is, when you come home at the end of the day, you plug it into your computer right now. And you're downloading your pictures. Most of us save it to a specific folder where we have all our surveys, survey photographs for that vessel. And our software, you just say select file, point to that location, select the image you want. Very, very easy. Go for it. So the question is, can you save the pictures that you take within the software to and through the whole report? The way that it will work is when you use the camera on your tablet to take a photograph, it saves it to the camera roll or a location on your computer. And then from there, that gets selected and put into the report. If you're using an iPad in the field, I will segue just real quick here. You can use an iPad or a Windows device. It is specifically designed for Windows, so you do need a Windows host. But with a host in the field, you can then also walk around with an iPad. I know it's a little bit of a weird concept. I can explain. I've got a table at the back. I can show you that in practice. But with an iPad, it works a little different. When you select camera, you can take it immediately. It's automatically, and that photo gets saved to your camera roll as well. So it's very similar to the Windows. Great. Okay, good. I understand that question better. You're asking about archiving your files with the photographs and everything together. We compile everything into a project file, and that project file has all of the buttons, all the heading, all the content you put in there, and all of those photographs, and all of that is saved into one file, and you can reopen that, build onto that, even use that to start another report at any point in the future, too. So you can, if you choose to include them all into one file, you can add the 300 photographs and mark the ones that you do not want published as do not publish in the report. So you can add more photos than what get published in the report into our software as well. Ideally, I would say you want to save the photographs in a folder that you can reference easier. Pretty much the same way that you do it now, and you just select the ones you want included in your report. That's correct. Exactly. Yes. Good question. So you can add PDFs or scanned documents. They don't necessarily publish into the report at this moment in time. We do have a feature we're building in with full width images where you can add a document or as an image that will appear as a full width image. The reason we don't have that right now is we want to meet all the industry requirements for page numbering and the specific contents that want to be in there. When you just put another PDF document in, that would throw that out of organization. So out of the formatting, exactly right. So we don't include that directly. At the end of the whole report, you can put that in. Exactly right, exactly. That's exactly right. Perfect. Well, guys, thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciate it. We have a website, a Facebook page, and an Instagram account here. You can follow us. We do often raffles and giveaways. So it's something worth following to see when we're talking and where we are. For seeing that next. I appreciate all your time here, and thank you very much.